Well, as I've already said, this is New Year's Day. It is the beginning of a new year. You know, how do we plan for this year? As we look into the writings of the prophet Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 29:11, we all know this and we quote it quite a bit. I'm going to read out of the NLT today. "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, the plans for good and not disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Now, we have to realize when Jeremiah was penning these particular words, it was a time when Israel was in captivity. The reason they were in captivity, they'd been disobedient to God, they'd become idol worshipers. And although God had repeatedly given them warnings, they had still become rebellious and idolatrous. So he allowed them to be taken captive into Babylon. You know, and it would seem that God had a right to turn his back on them, but he didn't. He sent his prophet once more to declare the plans that he had for Israel. They've been in captivity long enough. And they had given up and were in despair of ever gaining their freedom or returning to their homeland. But now, what does all of that mean for us in this new year? Well, there are four things that I would like for you to take from what I say today. And they all come out of Jeremiah 29:10-14. And the first thing that I want you to get a hold of is that God will perform what word he has spoken. Now, if we look at Jeremiah 29:10, this is what the Lord says. "You will be in Babylon for 70 years. But then I will come and do for you all the good things I have promised. I will bring you home again." Now, looking at Albert Barnes, his notes on the Bible, he said, actually, this is sort of a paraphrase of what that says. "The nation shall not come to an end. The exile shall be followed by restoration." Now, Israel had a covenant with God, going back to the Mosaic covenant. Now, if you want to study, there's Mosaic covenant, Noahic covenant, all these different covenants in the Old Testament. That's why it's important that you understand and read the Old Testament. It gives you actually. Some of it is history, but it's good for you to know that, because the Apostle Paul said everything that happened to the children of Israel happened as examples for us, and some of the examples are for us what us we're not supposed to do. Some of the examples are there to keep us from getting into the same condition that Israel got into by not honoring God like they should. So now God prophesied to Israel according to the covenant, and that's exactly what he did. But hey, we have a new covenant in the New Testament, established on better promises. And actually, the new covenant includes all the old and a bunch of new stuff too. You might call it the upgraded version. How many of you have ever had to have with your cell phones and your iPads? How many of you had to upgrade? Yeah. Well, that's what God did when he made a new covenant in the New Testament. He just had an upgrade. All right. Now, our covenant has all the benefits, like I said, of the old and much, much more. Now, as we begin to look at all of this, and we begin to realize how much more we have to realize that we are not perfect either. But neither was Israel. But the Word of God says we're striving for that. Now, in our imperfections, God still has great plans for us. Is anybody here perfect? Let me see your hand. Because if I see any hands, we're gonna have an all night prayer meeting for you. Now I know that Brother Bill, claims to be perfect. No. Well, that's what JP, his son, told me. Now I got everybody's attention back, so let's go on with the message. See, you don't know why preachers do that. See, they do that sometimes just to get everybody's attention, you know. Now, everybody here with me? Say it. We are not perfect. But in our imperfection, God still has great plans for us. Man, that just sounds good to say that, doesn't it? That's just sort of thrilling to say that, isn't it? See, and we go back, we'll read 29:11 again now. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans for good, not disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Now, God told Israel, while they were in captivity, he said to them, I have a good plan for you. In other words, they didn't deserve it, but he gave it to them anyway. You know, we don't deserve salvation. We don't deserve all the good things that God has given to us, but he's given them to us anyway if we will simply believe. You know, God's plans for us are according to his thoughts, not our thoughts. You know, Isaiah 55:8-9 says, for my thoughts are nothing like your thoughts, says the Lord, and my ways are far beyond anything you could imagine. For just as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. So that means that God has a better plan than we could ever dream up. You know, he has planned some things for us, and they're far better than what we can think about, but we have to follow God. We can't follow our own plans. That's what got Israel in trouble, following after what they thought was right. We've got to follow after God. And if we'll follow God and his plan, we'll meet people we never dreamed of meeting. We'll go places we never thought we could go. We'll do things that we never realized that we had the capacity to accomplish. God doesn't give up on his people. Now, sometimes his people give up on him. But sometimes people get in despair and they just give up and say it's not worth it. But however long that God... let me say it this way. However long that you have breath in your life, God is still there working. See, don't give up. Put your trust in God. Look at your neighbor and tell him, say, don't give up. Put your trust in God. Now, God reveals his plans to those who will seek him with a whole heart, not just doing it because somebody told you to do it, but you're seeking after him wholeheartedly. Now look at Jeremiah 29:12-13. You're already there, so you should be able to find it real easy. In those days when you pray, I will listen. If you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. That's the NLT, New King James says, then when you call upon me and go and pray to me, I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Now, our instructions here are very simple. Seek him with all of your being, with everything you have. Nothing else matters but seeking God. And then secondly, call on him. How many in this last year have had to call on God? I imagine that's every hand in the place. Because, you see, it says here that he will listen when you call on him. We have to get to the point that there's no more what I want, but what God wants. No more doing it my way, but God's way. No more just paying lip service to the things that God has said in his word, but actually doing what he said in the word. Do you know there are a lot of people that they'll talk about the word, and they'll give it lip service. Oh yeah, I believe what the Bible says. The Bible says we should do this and we should do that and we shouldn't do this and so forth and so on. But then they go out and do what they want to, whether it's in line with God's word or not. Anybody ever seen anybody like that? Yeah. See, no more disobedience to the commands of God. Now, a lot of people say, well, I'm obedient. If you're not doing what the Word of God says, you're in disobedience. I mean, some people say, well, wait a minute. No, it's that simple. It's just that simple. You know, a lot of people say, they say, I'm in submission. I'm in submission. You know, talking about submission and authority. You're never in submission until you do what you don't want to do. But you submit to it anyway. The rest of the time, you're just in agreement. Hello? How many times do we go along and say, oh, I'm in submission? No, you're not. You're just in agreement with what's going on, because you only get in submission when you don't agree with what the leader's saying, but you obey it anyway. All of us that's been in the military learned it real quick. The first thing we learned in boot camp was, if the sergeant or the captain or the lieutenant, whoever, anybody up there said it, you didn't question it. You might not have wanted to do it, but you came in submission anyway. How many know what I... Blake's fixing to find that out real quick. I'm really proud of him in serving in the U.S. Army. I mean, U.S. military, Marines. Excuse me, guys. Hey, that's one thing you don't do. You don't confuse a Marine with anybody else. But no more disobedience. No more disobedience to the commands of God. I don't care whether you want to do it or not. Come in submission. Then you'll get blessed. How many times when your kids come, you that are parents or grandparents, when the kids come into submission, they get blessed, but as long as they're not in submission, they don't get blessed, right? Come on, I saw about four hands go up. Hey, he's God the Father, right? We come into submission, we get the blessing. When we're in disobedience, we don't get any blessings. God does not perform his word for those that simply just say, well, I believe God, and that's it. He performs his word for those that believe him, those that diligently seek him, those that continually stay in the shadow of the Almighty, are continually drawing close to God. Those that have an ear to hear what the Word of God is saying, and then do it are the ones that get blessed. See, you want to know God's plans? Then you got to get in close. And he'll reveal them to you. You know, when I was playing ball in high school and stuff, you know, if they had everybody gathered around a coach and he is telling everybody what to do, I tell you what, I might not have been out on the field at that particular time, but I may have been on the bench, but I didn't stand in the background. I wiggled my way up. I got right up into the front so I could hear what the coach was saying. Because I'm back here and the crowd is making noise. I can't hear everything he's saying. I want to know what the plan is. I want to know what everybody's doing out there. So if I got to go into the game, I know what to do. Hello, any of you guys know what I'm talking about? Does any of y'all do that? The same thing I did. Get up there where you know what's going on. You know, we always had those guys that was just always hanging on the back. And if they were called on to do something, well, you're out on the field. Hey, Hagen, what's this play? What I need to do? I said, why didn't you listen in the huddle when we was talking to coach? And now I'm out there telling him what to do because he wasn't up there listening. And then sometimes you could be up there in right up where the coach is talking, but you're thinking about something else. And then when the chips are down, you can't perform because you don't know what the plan is. Hello. How many of you were watching football yesterday? Two great games yesterday. And they kept talking about Clemson last night. They kept talking about it. They followed the game plan all the way through from the first play to the last play. In fact, that's one of the things that when they talked to the coach, I was listening, that's one thing he said. We stayed focused and stayed with the plan. That's all we got to do with God. Stay focused on him and the plan. But now, how did those guys know what the plan was? It was revealed to them during this last week of practice. The plan was given. Okay? So he wants to unveil his plan for us. He said he has plans for us. He's willing to show us the plan if we're willing to draw close to him so we can hear the plan. He's willing to show us the place he wants us, but we got to be close enough to him to hear him talking to us. Hello. You know, I remember when Dad left that last church, January of 1949, Van, Texas. He's pastoring. We was pastoring the best church that we had ever pastored, or he had ever pastored, and one I knew. And it was in the best, we had the best parsonage. And, you know, it wasn't that great, but it was better than anything we'd had. And then we were in the best financial shape we'd ever been in. But Dad sensed that there was something different. So he spent quite a bit of time seeking God until God showed him what to do. And he left that church and went out in what was called then evangelistic ministry or road ministry. And that's what he did for the rest of his life. But you know what? If Dad had not have followed God's plans, there wouldn't be no Rhema Bible Church. There wouldn't be no Rhema Bible training centers all over the world. Then there wouldn't be thousands of people that have heard the faith message and are alive and well today. If he hadn't have gotten a hold of the plan. See, it's time for you to seek God and get his plan. Turn your whole heart toward him. Not just halfway. Doing long as it's in line with what you want. It's okay. Come on, don't look at me like that. That's the way a lot of people want to operate. Long as it's okay, if that's what they want, that's what they're... But the minute God starts directing them a little bit different from what they really want to do, guess what? There becomes a split. Oh, I'm talking about getting yourself ready for this next year. See, God will manifest himself in your life. He will even, if you need to, be, he will restore. That's what he did for Israel. See, in verse 14, he says, I will be found by you, says the Lord. I will end your captivity, restore your fortunes. I will gather you out of the nations where I sent you and will bring you home again to your own land. He promised them, hey, if you wholeheartedly seek me, I will bring you out of this mess you're in. I'll bring you back to your promised land. You see, some of you might have left and walked away. You need to get back to the promised land. If you wholeheartedly seek him, he'll show you. He'll restore you. He'll do what his word says. He'll fulfill every promise of the word for you if you will wholeheartedly seek him. You that need restoring, he will restore you. He will fulfill all of the promises of the covenant. What covenant are we talking about? The Abrahamic covenant. The covenant God made with Abraham. And Paul says in Galatians 3:13-14 that we have been redeemed. He says that the blessing of Abraham might come on us. Who is that talking about in that third chapter of Galatians? It is talking about the adopted family of God, us, the Gentiles. The blessing of Abraham will come on the adopted children. That's us. See, we still have covenants with God. That's why you need to know all about all these covenants and what they entail and what they say is ours. See, this is the year that you need to set yourself to seek God and find out what his plans are for you. If you will, he'll show you. He'll show it to you in his word. He'll show you his power by delivering you and restoring you. He'll show you plans that you never even dreamed that you could even accomplish. He'll give you abundant provision that you never thought about having. He'll give you divine protection whenever you need it. This year, God will take care of you, and he'll bring you into the good things that he has planned for you. He just didn't have plans for Israel. He's got plans for us, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you will diligently seek him, then he'll show you his plan. He'll guide you. He'll direct you as individuals and as a church body. He will guide us into the new year. And we can accomplish as individuals in our own lives and as a church body, as we bind together and seek him, we can follow him and we can be better this year than last year. 2017 can be the greatest year yet. But it's up to you whether it's a great year or just another year. As far as I'm concerned, I want it to be a great year. I just don't want it to be another year. And I know the way that I can get it not to be just another year, but to be a great year, is to follow him with my whole heart, seek him with everything. He will show me the plan and then come in line with the plan, whether I want to or don't want to. Then he then will give us all of the good things that the word of God said belongs to us. Not because we're working for them, not because we deserve them, but because we simply believe him and call on him. Hello. See, just let me end with this. Come near me and seek my face, and then you'll begin to see that the good plans I have for you will come into fruition. And you'll walk, and you'll talk, and you'll have a good life, and you'll shout yourself all the way back home. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Now, that last part, the Spirit came to me. The first part I had written down here, but the last part, the Spirit gave, took over, and I just said what the Spirit was saying. Hallelujah. How many of you are ready to have God's plan for this year? For just a moment, as I pray, you dedicate yourself there. Heavenly Father, we dedicate ourselves to the plan for this church and for our each individual lives this year. We seek you with a whole heart, and we know that you will show us your plan. And Father, I thank you that as we walk out that plan, there will be blessing after blessing and joy upon joy. We thank you for it in Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen.